In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My car, which I bought new 13 years ago, has finally just about given up the ghost. 354,000 miles have taken their toll on it. I spent all day this past Friday driving with my wife to Griffin, Georgia, to get a replacement, which I might add is a used replacement. And I cleaned the old car out. There were several boxes of tools and paint and road maps and ice scrapers and half-filled bottles of oil and brake fluid and just plain junk. These boxes got added to several other boxes of stuff in my garage. Books and lampshades and pieces of lumber and cans of WD-40 and bags of potting soil and shovels, six shovels at the last count. And then there's the basement. So much stuff. The collection of a lifetime of buying stuff. And not only me, but my wife and each of my children. Boxes and boxes of photographs and boxes of more books, more tools and more lumber, and games and toys and stuffed animals and furniture and rolls of wire and bags of nails and old electric blankets. And of course, because that is my besetting sin and hobby, boxes and boxes of electric trains. I couldn't help thinking of today's gospel as I was cleaning out my old car and as my wife was saying, okay, you have got until Thanksgiving Day to clean out this mess in the garage. I couldn't help thinking of Jesus' call to the man who had so many possessions. And I couldn't help thinking of the thousands of people in eastern North Carolina and in the panhandle of Florida and in Georgia and in our state from the Midlands on down to the coast to the Waccamaw River who have been pulling loads of trash out of their soggy houses, trash that used to be possessions. Beloved possessions that made up their lives. Jesus challenged the man in the gospel to examine what it is that made up his life. And he challenged that man in the gospel to ask the question of what life really is. Real life, spiritual life, eternal life. Perhaps that man had never considered such a question before. Maybe this was the first time that he had paused long enough to even ask the question. Good teacher, what must I do to have a share in eternal life? What can I do to be able to love completely? Jesus looked at him and gave the usual, the conventional answer. Keep the rules. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't cheat on your spouse. Tell the truth. Honor your parents. But even before Jesus finished answering, the young man said, I have done all that. But I sense that there is more. There's got to be more to life than that. You and I may come to that place ourselves, knowing deep within ourselves that there has to be more than just keeping the rules. Jesus' answer to him was, give up everything and follow me. What is everything? Money, stuff, success, family, alcohol, sex, pride, or in my case, electric trains. Well, maybe I can give up the trains, but please don't take my iPhone. We may think of Christianity as only giving up. And indeed it is the giving up of sin and the giving up of fear. But what about the follow me part? Do you think Jesus' answer to the man was just for this one fellow, or was it for everyone? Is his answer for me? What is true life? More than just making money? More than just accumulating stuff in the basement or in the garage or in the trunk of the car? More than just traveling to the next foreign country on the list of places that you haven't been yet? Jesus looked at this young man and said, if you really want to share in eternal life, if you really want to share in it all, you really desire to love completely, if you really feel yourself quickened by the call to the kingdom of God, then loosen yourself from all that you have. Sell it. Give it away. And once you are free from it, really free, then come to me and be as I am. Follow me. The young man in the gospel looked up. No, it was I who looked up. No, it was each of you who looked up. And his face fell, and my face fell, and your face fell. And he and I and you went away sad, knowing that what Jesus has asked is something that we could not yet do. He could not lose his life in order to gain it. And we identify with him. Wealth and possessions almost always present us with a special problem. There is an Avett Brothers song. Any of you know the Avett Brothers? The Avett Brothers song catches the addictive flavor of wealth, and it goes like this. I am sick with wanting, and it's evil and it's daunting, and every day is worse than the one before. The more I have, the more I think, I'm almost where I need to be. If only I could get a little more. The song tells the truth about me. The chances are good that the song tells the truth about you as well. So often the good seed of God falls among thorns in my life and it becomes choked. And fullness of life in the kingdom seems to be impossible. But Jesus reminds us that nothing is impossible with God. Oh, but how to do it? How do we then live? Are we to give up everything and live on the street like a homeless person? Is the call of Jesus to abandon the world altogether? Is there no way to follow Jesus and also live in the world in such a way that we can be involved in such ordinary and essential matters as property and possessions? Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what do we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? It is the Gentiles who strive for all of these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There is an undeniable and an unavoidable tension between our membership in the kingdom of God and our membership in the kingdom of this world. Our world, our culture, especially our American way of life, tells us to accumulate, to buy and to own more and more and more and more. My car and my garage and my basement are a testament to that reality. But in the book of Acts, you can find a vivid and a very different picture of the new community of believers who cared for one another, who shared their possessions, and who practiced radical hospitality and generosity. The goal, the challenge of Christ, is not to settle for a world where there are haves and have-nots. The life of faith is to be characterized not by poverty or misery, but rather by joy and grace. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, there will be persecutions in the first century and even now, and there will be hurricanes. This world will never be a comfortable place. But we are called to the work of joining God in the transformation of the world, whether it be in Panama City or in the West End of Greenville. We catch glimpses of that when we work on a Habitat for Humanity house or whenever we help hurricane victims. But there is so much more to be done. Jesus' claim upon us is a radical claim. God wants this world to be different. And God wants to use you and me in this grand work of transformation and reconciliation. But we're not much good in that as long as our real God remains stuff. Jesus looked at the rich young man and he loved him. And Jesus looks at you and me and he loves us. His charge, his challenge to us all is radical. Do not be attached to your stuff. Leave your stuff and follow me. Start practicing this truth. For me and for each of you, there will come a time when we will have to leave this earth, when we will have to leave this body, when we will have to leave all of our stuff behind. You will never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer behind. So come and follow Jesus. So come and practice. Clean out your car. Clean out your garage. Clean out your basement. Clean out your heart. Clean out your life. Sell your stuff. Give it away. Come and follow me. If this message today does not take our breath away, if we are not shocked and appalled and grieved or amazed, then we either have not heard it or we have heard it so often that we fail to hear it any longer. This is not easy. Who can do it? But with God, all things are possible.